turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 23. Genesis chapter 23, verse 1. Hear now the very words of God. And Sarah was 127 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, Hear us, my lord. Thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. And he communed with them, saying, If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and entreat for me to Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place amongst you. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of his city, saying, Nay, my lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein, I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people give I it thee. Bury thy dead. And Abraham bowed himself before the people of the land. And he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, But if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me, I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, My lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver, but what is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham weighed unto Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field, and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre. The same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. All right. Interesting chapter. First of all, we want to see the great kindness and society that was entertained in the Old Covenant religion. I don't know why we do this as moderns, but we do. We tend to think of those who have gone before as a rough and rude people. I don't see a rough and rude people here at all. I see a society that is replete with manner and politeness. And I think that that we could do, in our modern society, we could do a lot to learn from the manner and politeness that we see with Abraham here and the sons of Heth. That there is no communication that goes between them in such a familiar way as to be counted informal, but they are formal and kind, gracious to one another. We are to see in this passage that Abraham is an example to us of kindness, politeness, manner, breeding, if you will. That's what we call it in our day, I guess. We call it breeding. So that we know how to behave ourselves. We know how to respect those who are in authority. We know how to respect those that are equals. We know how to respect those that are even lower than us in station. We know how to speak respectfully, to act respectfully. Our speech is, as Paul says, seasoned with grace, so that we are polite in our manner. It is certainly the bane of our age to be so familiar and rude. As a matter of fact, sometimes we promote people that are familiar and rude in our society rather than seeing the desirableness, the winsomeness of such a manner as we see here in Genesis 23. So let me encourage you then, by the example of Abraham and the sons of Heth, to a politeness, a manner, a formality that is befitting of those who would interact with one another. The second point that I wish to bring to your attention is that Abraham calls himself a stranger and a sojourner among the sons of Heth. Hadn't God given him the land? Hadn't the Lord granted it to him? Hadn't the Lord told him that this land is yours? Well then, how is it that he considers himself a stranger and a sojourner? Well, I would simply point your attention to Hebrews chapter 11, about verses 13 or so, 13 and following, where Abraham confesses that he is a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth, and then the writer, the apostle there, tells us, "For they that say such things make it manifest that they are seeking a country, a homeland, a fatherland," a patridi in Greek. Patridi, a fatherland, a land of their fathers, a land of inheritance. Not a land that is perhaps defined by borders and surveys, but a land that is heavenly, whose builder and maker is God. You see, that's what the apostle tells us in Hebrews chapter 11. And Abraham here, although the Lord has told him that he's going to possess the land, considers himself to be a stranger and a sojourner, a pilgrim upon that land, because Abraham had his eye upon the greater inheritance. Yes, Abraham believed that his children would possess that land because he believed God. But he believed also that there was a greater inheritance than that land, and that was the inheritance that Abraham sought. And so we see that in Abraham buying the land, number one, and also in him calling himself a stranger and a sojourner upon the land. He's not contradicting the Lord. The Lord had told him, "I'm going to give you and your descendants this land." He believed that. He knew it wasn't his in possession at this particular time, but he also knew that there was a greater land, a fatherland, whose builder and maker is God. He was seeking after that city which hath foundations, is how the apostle puts it in Hebrews 11. Also note Abraham's level-headedness in the face of his wife's death. Grief ought never to swallow us up, and we ought never to despair. The Lord is in control of all these events, even the death of loved ones, that He may bring them to glory and teach us to be selfless in our service of them and release of them to God. So there is a time, I've often told my children, this is why the Lord gives us pets, so that we learn how to deal with death. What's the average lifespan of a dog? Somewhere between 10 and 15 years, or by reason of strength, 18 maybe. Well, that's a third or a fourth of the average human lifespan. Right? And we have all had pets die early, prematurely. The reason the Lord gives us pets is to teach us to deal with death. To teach us, or one of the reasons, to teach us to deal with death. To teach us to deal with loss. We will all lose a loved one in this life, or many loved ones in this life. We will all do that. But notice Abraham's level-headedness. We must not despair. We must not grieve over much. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of His saints, what the psalmist tells us. And so, while Sarah had died, Abraham did not grieve over much. He did grieve. Oh, yes, he did. But not over much. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul. I believe it's toward the end of the book of Colossians. I think that's what it is. He's talking about Epaphras. And he says that Epaphras, who is one of your number, was sick unto death. But the Lord spared him. And not only him, but me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. There is a proper grief that we ought to have for our loved ones when they pass away. We miss them. However, we also know that especially those who are with Christ, that they are, that it is far better for them to depart and to be with the Lord. And so much grieving that goes on, let's face it, brothers and sisters, it might be selfish. Abraham here grieves, but not over much. We note his level-headedness and his ability to function even at the death of his long-loved wife, the mother of the child of promise. Let's see, what else did we have? I think that's pretty much it. Oh yeah, one more thing. When Abraham would buy the field, he would pay full price. He was not trying to get a deal. He was not trying to talk him down. He was not trying to get something for nothing. Abraham wanted to pay a fair price for the field. So that tells us that in our dealings with one another or with those who are in the world, that we ought to pay a fair price for a fair product, that we ought to give 8 hours work for 8 hours wage, that we ought to do all those things that support honesty, so that we do not steal from one another. Yes, it is stealing, my dear brothers and sisters, if you do not work 8 hours for 8 hours pay. That's right. Now, your employer may be gracious to you. He may actually give you days off from time to time and pay you for them. He can do that if he so desires to do that. But on those days where he's paying you for 8 hours work, or 10 or 12 hours work, or if he's paying you a salary to get your work done, if you don't get your work done, you fritter your time away, you work 7 hours for 8 hours pay, then you've stolen an hour from your employer. If you buy a field, pay the price. If you buy a car, pay the price. Now that doesn't mean you should pay more, because what do you do then? You encourage sloth and indulgence at that point. You should pay a fair market value for whatever it is that you buy. I'm not telling you to spend more than you should. I'm not telling you to spend less than you should. So, what did Ephron say? Well, you know, the field is worth 400 shekels of silver, but what's that between you and me? Abraham said, I got it. I understand. Here's your 400 shekels of silver. He didn't say, how about 350? He said, here's your 400 shekels of silver. All right, let's stand and continue praising the Lord in the singing of psalms. We will sing Psalm 36, 1 through 7 on page 71.